Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
87 degrees, heat wave in early June, overcast skies. Wind out of the northwest at 16. 5:07 on a sports Saturday. Eric Nelson with you here until 6 p.m. J-Lo, Jonathan Lowe, our studio coordinator, kind of quietly cheering for Sporting KC today against Minnesota United in that soccer match down there in Kansas. In the newsroom, Laura Oakes, you can catch her during the week in Drive Time. In a few minutes, we'll talk with Kevin Lynch, Fox Sports North, talk NBA Finals. Later this hour, Bob Nightingale will join us from USA Today, their outstanding MLB columnist. Tonight, Twins and Angels at Anaheim Stadium. Twins 28-23, Angels 28-30, Irvin Santana against Matt Shoemaker. Santana, former Angel, pitched there from 2005 to 2012, won 96 games in 8 seasons, started 8 playoff games for the Angels, threw a no-hitter in 2011 against Cleveland, and then they made a trade with the Royals for Brandon Sisk, and that thing blew up in their face. So Santana probably going to be a little more motivated than normal tonight against the team he used to pitch for. By the way, Albert Pujols stuck on 599 career home runs. He's gone 15 at-bats without a tater, but that next one will launch him into history. He will join the exclusive 600 home run club. So it could happen tonight or maybe tomorrow, or if the Twins are lucky, they will get out of Orange County without becoming part of the historical snapshot in the career of Albert Pujols. Another MLB nugget, according to the Arizona Republic, former D-back star Luis Gonzalez came to the aid of a woman Friday afternoon after her car was involved in a fiery head-on collision. Gonzalez and two friends sprang into action when they came upon the scene in suburban Phoenix. So here's a guy who is legendary in the Valley of the Sun for that game-winning hit in the World Series against the Yankees and Mariano Rivera. But this may have been his greatest play ever. And kudos to Luis Gonzalez and his two friends for doing the right thing and helping out in a time of crisis. The Minnesota Lynx tonight take on the Seattle Storm. That game will be in the Emerald City of Seattle. How about the Lynx? They are 6-0, off to another roaring start in the WNBA, the only perfect team left. And the Storm, 4-1. That's a pretty good basketball team as well. So this could be a challenge for the Minnesota Lynx. Of course, the Minnesota Vikings, OTAs going on at Winter Park, Eden Prairie. We had Everson Griffin on last hour, and he had some good things to say about the purple. One more baseball note. This is from the Seattle Times. A copy of the New York Yankees 1919 contract that officially rubber-stamped the Babe Ruth trade with Boston is going up for bid at an auction. This historic paperwork will cost a fortune. The Red Sox version of the trade sold back in 2005. You have any idea what this went for, J-Lo? No, I know. Think about it. It's the piece of paper, the Boston perspective of, yes, we have now dealt Babe Ruth, a pitcher, to the New York Yankees, 1919.
I will say that that went for... It's got to be, well, I was going to say seven figures, probably six, probably high six. I'd say $450,000.
Well, double that. And
900?
Yeah, even more. Almost a million. Ooh. This is 05, $996,000. So that's the Red Sox paperwork. The Yankees paperwork going up for bid in an auction. It's going to go over seven figures. It's got to.
You would think at this point with the valuations and the inflation and all of that, and again, the just more years being put on the historic document, probably double, maybe triple. I'd say $2.5 million is a good estimate.
Yeah, and then you get it. Okay, you get it, and you cough up seven figures. What do you do with it? You just put it under glass in your basement? I mean, that's the odd thing about all this stuff. For somebody, it has that kind of a mystique that you know, they want it so badly, and then you think to yourself, okay, but then what? Do you charge admission to walk into your basement to look at it? I can remember when I did a book on the NFL back in 2002, Slices of the NFL, and I was fortunate enough with my brother who was taking pictures to get a firsthand tour of NFL films in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, just outside of Philadelphia. Had a sit-down interview with the late, great Steve Sable, who certainly is one of the more influential people in the history of the league, along with his father, Ed. And we walked around the venue. The first thing you do when you enter is you see, you know, almost 90 Emmy Awards right there under the glass. That's impressive. And I've always been a huge, huge fan of NFL films. I believe they are one of the reasons why The Shield is so popular, with their incredible ability, the script, the narration, the sounds, and the unbelievable photography. They were able to combine all that and grow the game. So we went into an office, I believe it was Ed Sable's office, and the person giving us the tour showed us a telegram from the late NFL commissioner, Pete Rozelle, another guy who is a big reason why the league is so popular today, such a visionary. And it was about a two-paragraph telegram. It was yellowed. It was Western Union. And it said, "Dear Mr. Ed Sable, the NFL and its owners has granted Blair Motion Pictures the right to photograph the 1963 NFL title game between the Philadelphia Eagles and Green Bay Packers." And that was the gateway to NFL Films, because it was Blair Motion Pictures before it became NFL Films, because Ed Sable had a daughter named Blair. And it was a very innocent-looking telegram. There was nothing that made you think this was going to be a seed that would be planted that would help grow the game. So that was the beginning of NFL Films. And I wonder, you know, what something like that would be worth. It's always amazing to me, but I was fascinated to see that on the wall in the NFL Films facility in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. The finalists for the 2017 Play Ball Mr. Minnesota Baseball and Ms. Softball Awards are out. On the baseball side, Sam Carlson, Burnsville, Ryan Christopher, Jackson County Central, Dylan Cricket Danielson from Marshall, Bubba Horton, Maple Grove, Max Meyer, Woodbury, Trent Palmer, Anoka, and Jimmy Ramsey, Minnetonka. Those are your seven finalists for the Mr. Minnesota Baseball Award. On the softball side, Ms. Softball candidates are Amber Elliott, Anoka, Ashton Heppner, Winona, Taylor Mono, Chanhassen, Ashley Mitchell, Woodbury, Kara O'Byrne, Stuartville, Mary Beth Olson, Chanhassen, Gabby Sprang from Rosemount. So congrats to those young athletes as we pretty much reach the end of the school year, as we are getting set to crown softball and baseball champions on the prep level.
And I know this happened earlier in the week, but we do want to give a shout-out to Minnesota State Mankato. They are the Division II national softball champions. They won it last weekend. I believe they actually played their tournament in Salem, Virginia. I know there was another – no, I'm sorry. Maybe that was
– that's the D3 location.
D3 location. So, yes. So, D2 also played it in Oklahoma City, where they're playing the Division I championships this weekend. So, congratulations to the Mavericks of Minnesota State Mankato winning a national title. First one in their program's history.
I echo that as well. By the way, we will get an update from CBS sometime this hour on the situation in London, UK. Again, if you're just tuning in, and this is from the Sun in London. And again, it's after 1 a.m. in the United Kingdom. From the London Sun, the London Bridge has been plunged into chaos amid reports of a van mowing down pedestrians Armed cops are on the scene as bystanders report seeing people being stabbed and shots being fired. The London Bridge station, part of the tube, the subway, has been evacuated. And it's a scary scene right now in London, so we certainly send our thoughts and prayers across the pond over there. We'll get back to the toy department, the world of sports. Joining us now, our good friend Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North. And Kevin, always good to have you on the airwaves. And NBA Finals Game 1, you know, everybody was talking about, we knew these teams. It was a collision course, Cleveland and Golden State. We knew they were going to meet. It was manifest destiny. But Game 1, it certainly looks like Golden State has the upper hand because they were convincing, weren't they?
Yeah. And it's not, you know, sometimes people just think of Golden State and just they overwhelm you with three-point shooting or offense or whatever. But defensively, sometimes you don't remember how good of a team they are. And I thought that was really, you know, the tone was kind of set on that end of the floor there for the Warriors, and just the points off turnovers. And once they get in transition, they're pretty good. So I don't know if this is going to be a long series or not, but if Golden State can keep playing like that, it could be quick.
Yeah, and Kevin, and some of the people are now saying this could be faux, going back to the old days of Moses Malone. We've never had a team run the table in the postseason, go 16-0, win four-game series, but the Warriors are 13-0, and if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be this team, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's just that's just kind of the way the NBA has started to go. These star players want to play together as opposed to the days where, you know, whatever, Magic, Bird, and Julius Erving and Michael, those guys never really thought of ever doing something like that. So, I mean, maybe this is kind of the new trend in the NBA is you have a couple, two, three superpower teams, and they just mow everybody down. And I hope that's not the case because, to me, that's a less healthy NBA. But, just a high-powered team, you know, and they do it so much with that starting group. They don't have the depth that they've had the last couple of years because they're trying to sign a guy like Kevin Durant. So pretty much those main three, four guys are getting it all done. It's gonna be pretty tough. Cleveland's a good team too. We know that. You know that. I know that. But you know, when you got the firepower that Golden State has got, it can look easy at times for them.
Kevin, let's talk a little more about Kevin Durant because we've seen Kevin Garnett leave Minnesota, chase a ring, get one in Boston. Kevin Love leave Minnesota, chase a ring, get one in Cleveland. Kevin Durant leaves Oklahoma City for Oakland, and really it was to chase a ring. So how can you criticize this decision by the guy? He got himself onto a better team. It's about winning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, this issue sends me a couple different places. He didn't do anything illegal. He played within the rules and he signed with a different team. I have no problem with that. He can do that if he wants. It looks like he's going to win the championship with Golden State. At the same time, it's a little BS just the fact that, I mean, I watched most of that series last year when Oklahoma City had Golden State down 3-1 and, you know, and they can't finish the job. And they should have beat them in that series in the Western Conference Finals. And they should have been in the finals against Cleveland, Oklahoma City with Durant. But so in a way, you know, you kind of piss away that series if you're Oklahoma City and then you join the team that you should have beaten. So I get the people that are kind of you know, irritated by that decision by Kevin Durant. And let's face it, Durant in the playoffs at times in those big moments has not played well. And he's gotten some criticism for that, and he deserves it, if you ask me. I mean, there are some huge moments in that particular series last year where he choked. And, you know, so he's one of those star players, I think. And a lot of these star players, Eric, you know, you get down to those elimination games deep in the playoffs, and sometimes these star players, they don't rise up and embrace it. And I think Durant's one of those personalities where he wants help. He doesn't want to have to do it all himself. And I get that to a degree. But when you think back to Jordan or Bird or Magic, those guys embraced every one of those moments big time. And some of these guys aren't built that way. And I think Durant has looked at this move to Golden State as, I need help, I want help, and I don't want to carry that burden alone.
Well, he has a lot of help, no doubt about it. But he was the man in game one, 38 points, yep. 8 rebounds, 8 assists. And you watch this stuff very closely, Kevin, and you look for body language and things like that. And I know that Jay-Z and Rihanna, a couple of your close personal friends, were sitting there courtside. And Rihanna said something to KD during the game. And then after he sank a 3-ball, he ran by and glared at her. Take us behind the scenes there. What's going on, Kevin?
Well, yeah, I talked to everybody. You know, I have no idea. I didn't even notice that. In fact, when I was watching the game, I was with a friend of mine, and so we weren't even listening to the broadcast. So I didn't even really understand all that kind of crap was taking place until after the game, and I was reading about it. But hey, I thought I read too, maybe yesterday or something, that Durant, did he have a crush on Rihanna? Is that the deal with that?
That quite possibly could be the answer for the reaction he had. Did she spurn him?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that I think I saw someplace where he had a crush on her maybe a few years ago, and she's a Cleveland fan now, and she's not really a big fan of him. I don't know what the deal is. That's just a soap opera. That's kind of more your department. So if I need some answers, I know who to go to.
Yeah, I'm on the Rihanna beat when it comes to the NBA Finals and the Carrie Underwood beat when it comes to the Stanley Cup Finals. So you need questions answered about that, Kevin, come to me. But I do want to ask you this one. I said the other night, forget about the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Yankees, the new America's team is the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they become incredibly popular. You see people wearing the caps and the jerseys everywhere, the Twin Cities all over the U.S. It just seems to me that they have this appeal right now that transcends the Bay Area.
Yeah, you know, I just had a high school baseball game earlier today, and you see these teenage boys walking around. They're 12 or 14 years old or whatever, and they got their Golden State Warrior jerseys on and look like little hoopsters. But, yeah, they are. Obviously Curry has gotten a lot of hype the last 2-3 seasons, and it's deserved. And then Durant going to this team. Now they're probably going to win who knows how many championships in the next couple of years, I would think. Yeah, you know, that's just I think they're going to be playing for championships for sure, and I wouldn't be surprised. I predicted them to win this year. I think they got a chance to win some more moving forward. So, yeah, I mean that's the thing, is these teenage boys and they get into what Curry can do and how Kevin Durant plays and Klay Thompson and even Draymond Green and all his antics. So, people get fired up about this, and plus, really the core of their success as a team, and this is a good part of Golden State, whether you like them or not, is teamwork. I mean, you watch them play defense, they're on the same page. Offensively, they move the ball for the most part, and it's a fun game to watch, and people have jumped on the bandwagon. So it's not a surprise really to me that they have a lot of fans, not just around California, but all over the place, because it's entertaining to watch.
Yeah, and I'm sure you love a guy like Steph Curry, the 3-ball wizard, if you will. I mean, and that's part of the game now in the NBA. If you can't shoot the 3 and be successful, you're not going to win. I mean, it used to be down low on the block and muscle and physicality, but if you can't make the triple, forget it.
Yeah, no, that kind of makes me think of the Timberwolves. I mean, and we all know the Wolves have a lot of issues to address. If they ever want to become a playoff team or a 50-plus win team, let's face it, that's the goal. It's not just to win 42 games for the Wolves and squeak into the eighth seed and then get knocked out in 4 games. I mean, their goal with this young core and with Thibodeau being the head coach is to get into the playoffs and then someday – go deep and maybe play for a championship. And you're not going to do that unless you win 50-plus games to get a top 3-4 seed in the West. There's no question about that. That's how it works in the NBA. So, if you're going to do that, you have to. And there's just way too many games, Eric. You were at a lot of games the last number of years. I mean, it's like the Wolves would make 4 threes in a game, and whatever opponent they're playing that night would make 10 or 12 or 14. And it's just, I mean, you're just not going to win, and they have a variety of players. Wiggins struggles making threes. Rubio, obviously, we know for years has struggled making 3-point shots, and other players too. So, I mean, it's just, it's either you join the party. And I remember Greg Popovich's his quote a couple of years ago. They asked him about three-point shooting and the trend of that in the NBA. And he's like, hey, I don't really like it in a lot of ways, but either join the party or you will get left behind. And, that's just got to be a weapon for the Wolves or for any team in this league if you want to make some noise or get to the playoffs or beat some of these top teams, because you can't make just a handful of threes and the opponent makes 10 or 15 of them. You're just going to lose every game.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. We'll see what happens Sunday night, game 2 in Oakland, Cleveland, and the Golden State Warriors. Kevin, always waves with you. And we'll talk as the finals wear on. Maybe I hope they're over by the 4th of July.
We'll see.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
All right. Kevin Lynch from Fox Sports North does an outstanding job analyzing Timberwolves games, part of their pregame and postgame coverage. It's 5:32 on WCCO. It's a balmy one outside, 86 degrees, partly cloudy, wind out of the northwest at 11 miles an hour, 5:36 on a sports Saturday. Eric Nelson with you here until 6 p.m. We'll have more updates on the situation in London, which is very fluid as we speak. The London Daily Star now saying that there's panic at a London Bridge bar in a second incident after a suspected terror attack. Now, this is the London Daily Star reporting this. The London Bridge has already been evacuated, so could be multiple incidents going on there. CBS will keep us up to date on what is a very tragic evening in London as they get toward the midnight hour in the UK. Joining us now from USA Today, Major League Baseball columnist Bob Nightingale. And Bob, thanks so much for your time. I know you're covering Rockies and Padres. Before we get into the Twins, we saw the Rockies here in Minneapolis a couple weeks ago. They're one of the early season surprises, aren't they?
Yeah, big time, Eric. You might say might be the number one surprise. You know, people thought at least a year away. And just say the young pitching, they have three rookie starters, tied a major league record with 12 wins in last month in May. And, they've always had a hitting. Now they got the pitching to go with it.
Yeah, and they're burying the Padres today 10-1 at Petco. And, what's the mood in San Diego now with the Chargers moving up I-5 to Los Angeles? They've lost their NFL team. It's basically all they have is the Padres. It's a one-horse town now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And they're still not like disappointing this team either. They've had 20,000 last night, 20,000 today, about half full. And, that San Diego State again, but it's not like it's a major college, things like that, as far as in sports. So, it's the Padres. And, they're probably not going to be competitive until about 2019.
Yeah, pretty amazing that a city with over 1 million people now only has one major professional sports franchise. Bob, you're all over the MLB map. Let's stick to the National League for a moment. The Dodgers are in first by a half game over the Rockies, but that could change depending on what the Dodgers do later on. But certainly the Washington Nationals at 34-19, a double-digit lead over the New York Mets, they are off to a great start, aren't they?
Yeah, let's face it, the National League is really down this year. You take away the Dodgers and the Nationals. There's really no other, great teams in the league. You look at the National League Central, everybody just scuffling to be over 500. So it's a real mess. The National League is much more powerful this year.
How surprised are you, Bob, that in the NL Central, the Milwaukee Brewers have a game and a half lead over the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah, very surprised. I mean, it's a team that's rebuilding. They're supposed to be a couple of years away from being in contention and, really even trying to win. Big surprise. But I think they're a little product, too, of just the division being so bad. I mean, who thought the Cubs would be, a 500 team, Cardinals, same thing. Just, everybody's around the same level. At some point, I think the Cubs take off and win this thing by 10 games. I just think they're a much better team they're showing.
So you're not concerned about the World Series champion Cubs?
No, I mean, you'd probably be concerned if, talk about the World Series, but not make the playoffs. A college scoreboard's not going to hit 160-something all season. I know we hit the Grand Slam today, but, he's got to get better. And then the, you know, I mean, no one's really producing that lineup, you know, except for Bryant and, you know, and Hayward. Jaden Hayward's been struggling all last year. Might be the most consistent unit this year.
Bob Nightingale, our guest, a columnist for USA Today, covers the MLB scene. He's at Petco Park in San Diego, Rockies and Padres playing as we speak. Back to the Brewers for a moment, Bob. This kid, Eric Thames, played at Pepperdine, but last year was in Korea, comes out of nowhere, and boy, he has put up some serious numbers. He's got 14 home runs this season. He's one of the top power hitters in baseball. Where did he come from?
Yeah, spent last 3 years in Korea. And, you know, he was with the Toronto Blue Jays, Mariners, bounced around, you know, struck out a lot. People thought he was more of a platoon-type power hitter. But, you know, not this kind of power. And kind of learned how to hit breaking balls, you know, now that he was in Korea and faced so many of them. And he's in the fastball, too. So, really, probably the early season, biggest surprise of the year.
You know, Bob, when the Houston Astros were in here earlier in the week and they battered the Twins, three-game sweep, outscored Minnesota 40-16. A lot of people said, okay, this is the beginning of the end for Minnesota. They've been exposed, and certainly the bullpen wasn't very good. But I countered by saying, you know what, Houston is outstanding. Right now they have the best record in Major League Baseball. They're 39-16. So maybe it was more of Houston being so good than Minnesota being so off their game, because the Twins have rebounded nicely in Anaheim.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be the bad teams. Anaheim's a very bad or very mediocre team, and you're right. The Astros are the best team in baseball by far. I mean, they're just like the Cubs were a year ago, just that young talent. They have pitching, not as strong as pitching as the Cubs a year ago, but just certainly as many young and talented hitters. And there's no reason in the world why these guys can't go deep in October.
What about the Twins, Bob? They're an odd team right now. And, again, they're in first place. They lead Cleveland by a game and a half. The Indians have already lost today. They're outstanding on the road, but at home they're horrible. It's a weird dynamic, yet they've got the record to put them on top of the division.
Yeah, a little bit like the Cardinals last year, where the Cardinals had a losing record at home and then a huge winning record on the road and just fell short in the playoffs. Yeah, I think the Twins are one of those teams, you know, taking advantage of a weak division right now. And everybody expected Cleveland to win this thing by 20 games. You know, it just hasn't happened. You know, at some point, you figure Cleveland's going to take off. But really, there's really no other, you know, team in that division that scares you.
And that's it's kind of a conundrum, Bob, for Derek Falvey and Thad Levine in the Twins front office. The division is not super strong. You have wild card spots that are out there. You know, instead of maybe being sellers, perhaps you think about being a buyer or at least standing pat. I mean, this team might be able to hang around.
Yeah, they couldn't hang around a lot longer than anybody thought. You don't want to be buyers. You know, I could see standing pat, but, you know, you're trying to rebuild this thing. You're not going to trade prospects and just go for it, then set yourself back in there 2 or 3 years. So I could see them saying, you know what, we'll hang tight with what they have. But I do believe the listen offers. I think they have to. And then kind of, you know, it's a hard sell to the fans, but tell them this is for the future, and this is going to accelerate our rebuilding process.
Irvin Santana on the mound tonight for Minnesota, up the road from where you are in Orange County against the LA Angels. He's 7-2, ERA 1.75, lowest in the American League. And once upon a time, the Angels had him, Bob. That was a bad deal, wasn't it, to trade away Santana for Brandon Sisk of the Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of had a funny career. You know, obviously, you know, pitching lights out. You know, and the Twins are thrilled, not only helping him out, but certainly enhancing his trade value. I think it'll be fascinating to see, you know, what they do with this guy, whether they move him at the trade deadline or not. I think it's very tough to move him if they're in first place, if they're not, a whole lot easier. And certainly can jumpstart that rebuilding process.
All right, Bob, before I let you go, there might be some breaking news out of Miami. Edison Volquez of the Marlins has a no-hitter through 8 2/3 innings against the Arizona Diamondbacks, so he's one out away from getting the no-no, and certainly that would be probably the lead story at USAToday.com.
Yeah, it's amazing what he's done. He's the first no-hitter since Anderson Alvarez for the Marlins, and they need some good news. He was a great friend of Yordani Ventura. Posted a picture of the two of them together this morning. And now he's a one strike away from no hitter.
Yeah, and it looks like he's got the no hitter, So Volquez and the Marlins get the no-no, 3-0 over Arizona, and it's a complete game no-hitter. And only 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, Bob. So we'll get more on that one, but it's always fun when there's a no-hitter. How many have you seen? I mean, you've covered a ton of games. How many in person have you seen?
I've only seen 2 perfect games and probably, you know, close to, you know, 7, 8, 9 no-hitters. But, yeah, they're still special. It's a special attribute of the ballpark when you see one of those, because at the pitch you know how hard they are to do.
And, again, the Marlins get a no-hitter from Edison Volquez, and the Arizona Diamondbacks lose it 3-0 today in Miami. Bob, quick final thought before we let you go. The Twins, we'll circle back to them. Do you think they're going to hang around? Do you think this team can stay in the playoff hunt?
I think they'll stay around, you know, longer than anybody thought. I still keep waiting for Cleveland Indians to take off. I do. I just think they're too talented of a team. I'd still be stunned to, you know, not to see them in the playoffs. Not that they can hang around with, you know, everybody else, you know, Detroit, KC, what have you. But I just have a hard time seeing them, you know, hang around all season long, it's particularly in the American League and it's with the team as powerful as the Indians are.
All right, Bob, always good to talk to you. Enjoy the Rockies and the Padres, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks, Eric.
Okay. And that's Bob Nightingale from USA Today, joining us here on WCCO, 86 degrees, partly cloudy outside. Again, the Twins and the Angels tonight in Orange County, game 3 of that 4-game series. And the Twins have won the first 2, and they have a game and a half lead over Cleveland in the American League Central. So it's been a pretty good back end of the week for the Twins after a disastrous start. They had the 15-inning loss to Tampa Bay, got battered by Houston in a 3-game sweep, outscored 40-16, but they've rebounded nicely, and they'll try to make it 3 in a row this evening with Irvin Santana on the mound. And as you heard us talk about with Bob Nightingale from USA Today, we have a no-hitter in Miami today. Edison Volquez, only 2-7 on the season, but win number 2 is a snapshot in time. He gets the no-no, 9 innings, no hits, no runs. Only 2 walks, he strikes out 10, and the Marlins blank the D-backs 3-0 in Miami. So there you go. There's one of your leads for tomorrow and tonight regarding Major League Baseball. Update from Kansas City, Kansas. They're in the 79th minute now, second half on the pitch at Sporting KC, and the Minnesota United Soccer Club down 2-0. So this I-35 rivalry, which is kind of percolating. These teams are going to get familiar with one another and not separated by a whole lot, with Kansas City and Minneapolis, St. Paul eventually, where they'll play. So 2-0, Sporting KC leads Minnesota United in the second half down there in Kansas. The Lynx will play tonight against the Seattle Storm, and that'll be at Key Arena in Seattle, Minnesota, 6-0. And the Storm are 4-1. It's 5:51 on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
86 degrees, partly cloudy skies, 5:54 on a sports Saturday. And days like this, the world of sports truly is the toy department. An escape from the chaotic madness of the real world. Esme coming up after CBS News and local news at 6. And we'll keep you posted again on what's happening in London, in the United Kingdom. Very disturbing and tragic situation. We'll have CBS reports throughout the night. I've been surfing the various London news outlets, the Times, the Star, the Sun. The Daily Star in London now saying that panic at a London Bridge bar is a second incident after a suspected terror attack. Of course, the London Bridge is where reportedly a white van has plowed over multiple people. There are casualties. There are boats in the River Thames below, making sure nobody went overboard. I mean, a scary situation, no doubt, in London. And if you've ever been there, the London Bridge tube station is closed, and the tube, those are vital arteries in that in that teeming metropolis. That's their subway. And so you can only imagine the backlog and the gum up there as they are close to midnight now in London, 5:55 here Central Time. They're at 11:55 in London, UK. Again, the London Daily Star saying that soldiers have arrived on the streets of London, terror threat level raised, and it already was very high in the United Kingdom with the Westminster Bridge incident and what happened in Manchester at the concert. Prime Minister Theresa May has raised the terror threat level to critical. So just a tragic story. And the Daily Star now saying the van plowed into 15 to 20 people on the London Bridge, which is always a popular spot, an iconic spot in the city of London. And people go there all the time. And of course, Saturday night leading into a Sunday morning, London, a very festive city. I can remember going there a couple of years ago and just a tremendous vibe there. But not tonight. Tragedy on the London Bridge and at a London Bridge bar. So we'll get a lot more at the top of the hour from CBS News, local news with Laura, and then Esme joins us with Saturday Night with Esme. So we'll keep you posted on all of that. Don't forget tomorrow, Sports Huddle, 9:30 to noon, Sid, Dave, and Maxie. So a lot coming up right here on your Twin Cities home for news, weather, and sports, WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.